Welcome to episode 6 of the Asia Business Investor podcast. In this podcast, we're off to Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam. We will be speaking to Nan Nguyen from the Business Development Group about business and business opportunities and investment in Vietnam. Hello, Nan. Thanks for joining us on the Asia Business Investor podcast.
Hello, Nicholas. Thanks very much for having me.
Could you start by briefly telling us about yourself?
Right. My name is Nhan. I'm 29 years old. I was born in Vietnam, central Vietnam, and moved then to Germany when I was 7. I lived there and grown up for almost 20 years, and I'm back in Vietnam since almost 4 years.
Is there anything about Vietnam which has brought you back?
In fact, I was not that interested when I was young and living in Germany. I almost felt like a German, but I was studying abroad in Hong Kong for almost a year, and I traveled quite often to Vietnam, and I think in this time it changed. It was around about 2004. And there was a very exciting time. The country was changing a lot, developing a lot, very dynamic. And then I saw the opportunity and also the needs. And then I thought, okay, let's start here.
Great. Could you tell us a bit more about your company?
Yeah, my company, BDG Vietnam, the Business Development Group here in Vietnam. We do consult German-speaking companies. Meaning Germany, Austria, Switzerland, mm-hmm. on three fields. One is purchasing, meaning export products from Vietnam. Second is the market entry, meaning one of our clients would have a product in Europe, for example, and would like to test the market here in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And the third part is investment. Yeah, there are many kinds of investment right now. Interesting in Vietnam, it's real estate, it's production, you name it.
So how would you describe the business environment in Vietnam today?
The business environment in Vietnam today is very dynamic. Dynamic has two things. I mean, one is we are growing quite fast. We are the second highest growth in the Asia region behind China, naturally. It's around about 8% within the last years. But dynamic also means, I mean, there are many problems we are facing. We are facing right now with inflation, salaries increasing, and things like this. So it's quite, dynamic, but also there comes with a lot of problems.
Right.
The second thing I would see is the market right now. I mean, it's very immature. We have a very interesting retail market. I think it was an A.T. Kearney study published this year, which ranked Vietnam on the number 2 in the world on the retail business market. And but the market is not that very developed. I mean, we have very poor distribution networks here, mm-hmm. have very poor import regulations. Which is very interesting for next year because there will be some changes in the law that foreign companies also can import and distribute their own products. So that's maybe a little bit help for the market. Third part on the business environment would be definitely legal. Is we always say if you come to Vietnam, then you should get a good lawyer. And it has a reason because, I mean, the Vietnamese law is kind of... it's kind of mixed between American law and European law. And it's quite, they took all the parts from every country together. And then that's a Vietnamese law and it's changing like every year. And it's quite problematical for foreign investor, which usually you go to a country or you live in your own country and you have, you go to a lawyer and say, hey, what's going on? And the lawyer would say, okay, this and this and this. This not works that well in Vietnam right now, but it's getting a little bit more stable right now.
So what do you think are some of the key growth areas at the moment?
Okay. From the location, I would definitely say it's Ho Chi Minh City, which is in the south of Vietnam.
Right.
This is the commercial hub. In fact, it's not real Vietnam. It's kind of a metropole, as you know. Like, it's a hard comparison, but it's like Singapore, Hong Kong, or the big metropoles here you have in Asia. This is where the whole business is, financial business going on, the commercial production as well. There will be a completely new industrial area in the northern of Ho Chi Minh. So this is definitely made the biggest growth area right now. Second, definitely Hanoi, which is the capital of Vietnam in the north, with around about half the people of Ho Chi Minh, with 4 to 6 million, it's always an unclear number, living in Hanoi. This is more, many big companies would have representative office there. You have heavy industry going on in the north of Vietnam, plus Haiphong, which is the main port in this area. Ship industry is going on. South industry, I may forgot to tell that, is oil business. I mean, we have Vietnam is quite rich in oil resources. Problem is just we don't have a refinery, so we gotta sell this to neighbor countries. One big brother is in the north, and buy quite expensive the gasoline back. Yeah?
Oh, okay.
In the central area is definitely Da Nang. Right now, growing very rapidly in tourism and the tourism sector, in the gastronomic sector, things like this. So that's three key areas. May interesting on the growth of business. Real estate, always big business in the emerging markets or the developing countries like this, which is right now a little bit cooling down. There was a high speculation on real estate. Then, in fact, we had in the last 5 to 10 years the regular products, meaning textile, garden furniture, furniture in general, shoes definitely, terracotta, you know, all these things, which also China has. But I think starting from this year, next year, for the future, it looks like Vietnam is becoming, you know, going on the next step of country evolution, which is mostly going to an engine, trying to produce engines or motors or things like this. Because sure, there's always the story that Intel is coming to Vietnam, but we are not ready to produce a chip. Yeah, if you're not able to produce a motor, you cannot produce a chip. So Intel has a plant here, yeah, but we are talking about assembling. Yeah, so
assembly, right. Should,
So we should keep that low. In fact, I think the growth area will be in complicated products, talking metal production, CNC work. Think of a complicated machinery or something in low quantity. That is very important. Vietnam is not that good in producing high quantity. I think this will be a very interesting growth in Vietnam.
Do you mean low quality or low quantity?
Yeah, high quality, low quantity. Yeah. I think this is what I'm interested in. Yeah. Look at the, take a normal example, t-shirts.
Right.
Or shirts in general, like man shirts or suits. Ask a regular Asian traveler. Usually you get a better suit in Vietnam than, for example, Shanghai or something. Okay, the fabrics are better there, but the handicraft, the workmanship is okay. I don't want to make enemies up there.
Don't worry about that.
It's quite good in Vietnam.
So, do you think there is a uniquely Vietnamese style or approach to business?
Yeah, in fact, Vietnamese are quite Western in their business style. We see different countries here in Asia, like Japan or China, which are very unique in their business style. I think Vietnamese, this is also why many foreign investors are coming now to Vietnam, in a quite high number, because we had a fair mix of French influence, a fair mix of American influence. So this is why you have, like, in the, especially in the southern part of Vietnam, a Western culture implemented by doing business, by the education, by speaking English. I think there are other countries around in the neighborhood which the English level is not that high. I mean, we cannot compare it to Singapore or India, but Vietnamese people do learn very fast and much English right now.
Okay.
The Asian, yeah, I mean, Vietnam is similar to other Asian business cultures as well. We are talking about the culture, you know, after you have worked a little bit in the company, you would go out for karaoke or drinking a coffee. And this is, I think this is similar to other countries. Relationship, very important. You have similarities in China and Japan as well. Mm-hmm. It's all relationship here. If you want to accelerate things, you need good contacts. If you need to know something, you need good contacts. So this is very important to do business in general here. Other things, Vietnamese style you are talking about, information is a little bit problematical. I mean, asking one question, getting 10 answers, this is normal, I think, for the area. And also the structured way of working. I think this is something we have, Europeans have problems with. Over there, we try to structurize everything and organize everything we do. And here it's like in the flow. You try to go with the flow, and yeah, this is something we have to get used to.
So how would you characterize the business opportunities in Vietnam today for foreign investors and entrepreneurs?
Yeah. In fact, within the last years, meaning 5 to 10 years, it was good already. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, it's getting better. Concerning the points I mentioned already, law is getting much more stable than it was before. The government learned from the mass of investments which came to Vietnam within the last year, and they were not able to handle that, and especially the law couldn't handle that. This is definitely getting stable. In fact, it is still good regarding the tax incentives. Vietnam was I think very it was a big favorite for many investors because of the high tax incentives, while you don't have that incentives at all in China. For example, if you want to start a production, mm-hmm. and get the incentives, tax exemptions for some first 4 years. After that, you have a reduction on tax, corporate income tax, I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But this will be cut within the next years, starting next year. But anyway, I think the opportunity is still there. And in additional, within the last years, many Vietnamese companies have learned a lot from foreign investors, foreign joint venture partners, in order now to know how to work much more professional.
So in terms of some of the state privatizations, what do you think how do you think they present in terms of opportunities right now?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. It's an ongoing process right now. I think we have numbers from last year that 60% of the state-owned companies are going to be private within the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. In my personal opinion, I'm talking about from the points when I go into so-called state-owned or joint stock companies in Vietnam. To be honest, I couldn't find any good ones. There are different problems. One, we are talking about hierarchy. I mean, these people used to work in very high hierarchy structures with a lot of levels and reporting processes. And on the other way, we have problems regarding processes itself. We are talking about production process. Vietnamese companies do not know how to set up a lean production, working in three shifts properly, working out guidelines, handbooks for employees in order to work efficiently. This is a very big issue right now in the production process, China, for example, is very professional on that. On the other side, we're talking also about management process, how middle-sized or big companies, I'm talking about 200 to 1,000 people, how to manage this in a small, lean structure that getting more entrepreneurship in your company. I mean, these are theories or management approaches we have in Europe since years. And this is a big problem for joint stock or state-owned company. And this is also one of the main reasons why joint ventures didn't work that well within the last years between foreign investors and mostly then state-owned companies, because the structures didn't fit together. The cultures of the two companies were completely different. One big example is BMW. BMW came to Vietnam, I think, more than 10 years ago, mm-hmm. starting a joint venture here, didn't work out. And since this year, they do it themselves. And this is it's not just one example, but there are many of these cases. So private companies need time in order to improve and getting more efficient.
Do you have any success stories you could tell us about?
Mm-hmm. In fact, one of our main clients, which is number one in the world regarding oil field equipment, started to research the Asian area because they wanted to set up a production line here. Mm-hmm. It's a very high precision, high-tech product, very unique. In fact, you use it for drilling oil. And so they were looking at China, India, and Vietnam, the three countries. China was out quite quick because the copyright issue, I mean, this is a very sensitive product. And the technology in China was too advanced, so it was too dangerous. In fact, at the end was India and Vietnam. And India is quite good in infrastructure, English level very high. Also, companies there providing a lot of technology and know-how. But in fact, the company decided to do it in Vietnam because what I said in the beginning, the social environment and the cultural environment fit more to what they were looking for, because they would send some expats here to live for the next 3 or 5 years. And if you get problems there because it's not clean, because the food is not good, or I mean, just very small things, right? But at the end, the decision. And so we also have the tax incentive, which was in India similar. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think it was the social and cultural aspects. And so, in fact, the company will start production then next year in June. And we are very happy to have a company like this here in Vietnam. I mean, this will boost the what I was talking about, a very complicated product. You need good skilled people, then you have to train them and educate them properly. Mm-hmm. You have to export this. I mean, this is the whole process. I think this will be very good for Vietnam.
That's great.
Another story, we have right now also is the movement from China to Vietnam. I think you hear that already as well.
Yeah.
There are a lot of companies. Most of the time, it's pricing. We have in China right now some problems with the VAT refund, legal issues, salaries are increasing. Mm-hmm. So we have quite a lot of inquiries from companies who would like to move to Vietnam with their production, with their full production line. Mm-hmm. And one of them is quite a big company in power tools. They do like more than 100 containers per day.
Wow.
And so they... Yeah, that's kind of, it's just by average. It was just an average. It was And I just talked with him last week, and he said, yeah, it's just an average. So you can imagine some days they have 300 containers. So it's quite a mess. But they're talking about quantity. Yeah? Mm. So we were looking for some companies who were able to produce this power tools, talking about drilling, welding. And it was quite problematical, to be honest, because, as I said, Vietnamese companies are not able yet to produce in high quantity. We're talking about, let's say, 50,000 drilling handheld power tools per day. Yeah. I mean, you have to need a very lean production, very cost-efficient setup, and this is a big issue right now. But at the end, we found some companies. Mm-hmm. And we will export, I think, at the end of the year, or in fact, the production line will then export for our client. May I have to mention again, we just do consulting. We do not trading or something else.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think are significant challenges or opportunities for businesses entering Vietnam?
Yeah, in fact, challenges. Many companies which are moving from China to Vietnam with their productions, as I mentioned before, do have a quite high price pressure. I would see that as a big challenge right now in Vietnam. We have salary increasing as well. Still, the average salary is around about $80, $100 per month in the low production lines. But management level could go up already to $300 until $1,000 per month. Plus inflation, I think inflation will drive the salary problem as well. We are fighting right now with 20% inflation, which caused big problem also on the poor people in Vietnam. I mean, rice is increasing, gasoline is increasing, and when you know that how many motorbikes are here existing or driving on the street? Sometimes I think it's more than 80 million. So it looks like, now, in fact, to have a proper number, we are 8 million roundabout in Ho Chi Minh. Mm-hmm. And there's a number like there are around about 4 million motorbikes or more in Ho Chi Minh. Okay, don't count the babies and the old people. Yeah, so imagine how much it's. So in fact, yeah, this inflation problem. So I think we will have a price pressure as well in Vietnam. But the question is where you want to go with that. I mean, next target could be Cambodia, and next target could be Laos. You know, then go in the jungle and produce it. Which leads me then to the opportunities here, that the consuming market in Vietnam is very interesting. As I before the retail, there are different factors why it's a big opportunity to have a market entry in Vietnam. You have a very young population here. We are talking about 60% of the population is younger than 30 years. So yeah, it's a very young consuming, and when you see Hong Kong, or I think Singapore is similar, you have this cool, trendy consuming behavior of this generation, and this is one of the biggest opportunity for the next year, starting by 2009. Opportunity is definitely real estate. We still have land here, It's problematical, especially in the central hubs like Ho Chi Minh or Hanoi. Prices are just overwhelmingly high. We're talking about $100 per square meter or more, just for renting. Not talking about buying. Buying, we are talking about $30,000 per square meter if you want to buy in central location and more. Yeah. So I think, yeah, real estate is always interesting here, but yeah, I think that is something the specialists should handle.
Yeah, yeah. How do you think that foreign businesses need to adapt to business in Vietnam?
Yeah, definitely. Bribery is one of the biggest issues European investors always meet. In fact, you're having a country manager here. If it's a local, then he is... he got some dirt already. If it's an expat, he will get some dirt after a year or two. It's a big issue regarding bribery. It's a very normal thing, as I mentioned, relationship to sit down in a coffee or for dinner and then making the business there below the table. In fact, there is no really good system. I know what, or we know one of our clients is using a very complicated algorithm. Don't ask me how they do it, but they use a mathematical algorithm to check this bribery sums. Second thing, definitely foreign companies do have to invest a lot in training, because education system in Vietnam is poor. Over there we used to have a very creative way of learning things, and also it's not important what you know, but it's more important how to use it. This is how I learned it. Vietnamese education is more likely to, you get a book and then try to know what is written in the sixth page on the second paragraph, to know everything. But in fact, don't know how to use it in real life. Third point would be social environment in the company. I think over there we have more a distant culture. Boss is boss, and then the employees, you would work together, but you don't go out and have a beer together. I think this depends on the culture, but Vietnamese business culture is very important to have a social environment. You have you go to the wedding of your employee's son, or you go to the funeral of his mother. It's a very important thing that the boss shows up there. In fact, what I would recommend to foreign companies is to do the Australian way. Ah, Nicholas, you see, here we come back to Australia again. No, honestly, in fact, Australian bosses are quite high respected in Vietnam. And I talked to some Vietnamese about it and asked, okay, well, why is it? And they said they are hard. In fact, they are very hard, but they are always fair. You have different approaches. I mean, German approach is very, very hard, sometimes very unfair. Okay, I'm German, so I can say that. in fact, the Australian approach sounds quite good, sounds to work in Vietnam, hard but fair. Yeah? This is important.
What are the three best pieces of advice you could provide to someone wanting to develop business in Vietnam?
First, and in my opinion, the most important thing is always double check. Meaning you ask one question, you get 10 answers, and at the end you don't know where you should go. I think it's normal because we are in the emerging market. There is information is still flowing there, and rumors start big. So you really gotta pay attention to who to talk to, and also evaluate the information properly. With this always double check rule, which is also a rule in our company, to be prepared for the unprepared. I talked to a lawyer some weeks ago, and he said, I'm living here since 5 years, and I really think I saw everything, but in fact, every day something new happened. And I think this describes very well. Second point, I think it's important, whatever you do in Vietnam, you gotta develop people and systems. You can't expect to come to Vietnam and have it done. You have to get it done yourself. You got to train them. You got to talk to them. You got to show them. And you got to install proper systems that they know where to go. Also showing the goal. In this, let me tell you a story, is the advice a very old man gave to me. He's here since 8 years in the hotel business. And he said, he got a hotel. It's a 4-star, 5-star hotel. Yeah. And they have a beautiful beach. And every morning, when you come out of your hotel, you want to have this sand clear, very, very straight. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they try to tell the workers there, okay, every morning you go there and you make the sand straight. And they wondered, it never worked. Yeah, they didn't do it. Don't know why. And in fact, what they learned is they were discussing too much. They were explaining too much to these people why they should do it. But they forgot. They couldn't know, you know. I mean, why does it make sense to have a straight sand? So the advice he gave to me was, in the first 1-2 months, don't explain, to Vietnamese employees. Just tell them, please do it. And then after a time, they will do it, still not understanding why. And then after that, trying to explain why and show them the reasons. Yeah. I think this is good advice. Third point. I think it's important by entering Vietnam, it's important to understand the market. Mm-hmm. We have some clients which are coming to Vietnam and think that it's the same over there, especially when you come to Ho Chi Minh. Okay, except the motorbikes on the street, it looks similar to what we have over there. It's quite clean. The weather is nice. And then you go to a company and you think, oh, okay, that should work like we have it over there, but it will not, definitely not. They are completely different people having these different systems. So the advice would definitely be get a local. Get a local, show you a little bit around, to integrate you a little bit in the environment, to understand. And I think that needs most of the time to understand the culture and the people here.
Mm-hmm. That's great advice. Mm-hmm. Finally, so our listeners can learn more about your firm, can you just provide us some links to your website?
Yes, the website of our company is www.bdg-vietnam.com. Yeah, and there, in fact, you can find all the information about our company and definitely about Vietnam itself.
That's fantastic. Thanks for your time, Nan.
It was my pleasure.
That's it for episode 6 of the Asia Business Investor podcast, where we're covering Vietnam. We're going to be providing more details on BDG Vietnam, which are available in the podcast notes and, of course, in our main website. That's www.asiabusinessinvestor.com. In the next few world podcasts, we're going to be traveling back to the Middle East, also to the Pacific, and talking to many other different types of entrepreneurs and those people at the cutting edge of business in Asia. Hope that you enjoyed this podcast, and that's goodbye from me.